This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. The polls are close. The incumbent is vulnerable. The outcome will hinge on which issues most resonate with voters as they think about the economy, Iraq, healthcare, immigration, and education. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But this is not a rehash of the 2004 presidential election here in the U.S. Rather, British Prime Minister Tony Blair today called for elections in his country, even though polls show him with only a single-digit lead. The elections are just 4 weeks off. Jonathan Friedland is a columnist for The Guardian newspaper in London. He joins us now. Jonathan, I'm looking at an Associated Press story from London that says the issue is Iraq. Is that correct?
It's certainly in the background in a big way. It's the last thing that Tony Blair and his Labour Party want to be the issue. They insist that this is not, not a referendum on the Blair government, for which, read, not a referendum on the rights and wrongs of the Iraq war. I think they think that if it were a referendum on that war, they would lose. But even people who are not in that firm anti-war camp nevertheless feel that the issue itself, or rather the issue, has changed their view of in particular Tony Blair in this way. They say his credibility has gone, it's been shot, simply because he said one thing when it wasn't true. He said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, and there are none there. And therefore, say these voters, that's the problem, because now we don't know whether to believe him if he talks about hospitals and schools, or talks up especially another foreign threat.
Well, the British Labour Party needs the Democratic political consultant here, James Carville, who helped get Bill Clinton elected by stressing that it's the economy, stupid. I mean, isn't Mr. Blair, he does have a strong economic performance over the last 10 years.
He really does. It's been 8 years since Labour's been in, and the economy has been continuously good. And the Conservatives would say, as you did, that it was been strong for 10 years, that they deserve some credit for getting it on the right lines even before Labour came to power in 1997. But that is a double-edged sword for Labour, and it's been such a continuous period of success that the economy has almost gone out of politics. It's seen now as a fact of life, almost like the weather or something, that is actually not in any way connected to politicians in the sense they don't deserve any credit for it. I remember covering the Gore-Bush race in 2000, where Gore's people were constantly trying to say, look, the economy is because of what's happened, of the choices we've made, while the electorate seemed to think, no, it's just a given in the air. Similarly, Labour feels they've got that struggle. They want to say this was not a chance, it was a choice, the choices we made. The second reason why the economy is complex for Labour is partly to do with the internal rivalries within the Blair team, and they are that the man credited in all polls for this phenomenal economic success is not Tony Blair himself, but rather his right-hand man, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, our equivalent of the Treasury Secretary, the Finance Minister, Gordon Brown. And Brown gets all the credit. So where Blair is finds it tricky is the more he talks about the economy, the more he almost subliminally says it's the guy next door, Gordon Brown, who deserves the credit. And that plays into the stuff we were talking about the war, because he, Gordon Brown, has got clean hands as far as the voters are concerned on the war, whereas they feel Tony Blair hasn't.
Well, whatever Tony Blair's challenges, he must have a challenger. That is, someone must be leading the Conservative Party. Who is that, and how attractive an alternative is he or she?
The man is Michael Howard. He was a minister in Conservative governments past, including Margaret Thatcher's, at a senior level. Michael Howard cleverly sought to neutralise that as an issue and say, look, I'll match Labour's spending on popular things like schools and hospitals, but instead running on what would be called in American politics culture war issues. In this country, immigration, and even very unusually for British politics, put abortion into the campaign. So he's found these culture issues, and he's so far been pressing a few buttons and doing rather well. He is an effective, aggressive performer. For all that, very few people, even on his own side, think he actually has a chance to win. Even a fairly large swing to the Conservatives will not be enough to topple all those different Labour members of Parliament who would have to lose their seats to make for a change of government.
Jonathan Friedland with The Guardian newspaper speaking with us from London. Jonathan, we'll check back with you on this story. Thank you.
Thank you.